strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they're just going to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And grand finals are emotional things, Andy. I don't know if anyone saw, well, I assume lots of people saw the BFL grand final, but the scenes afterwards with Alex Rance celebrating with Callum Moore, of apparently Jack Riewoldt was crying. Like, you know, I don't think anybody starts an AFL career wanting to win a VFL premiership, and yet these guys were so emotional at what they'd achieved together, and I think that's only a small taste of what's to come for better or worse this week.
Yeah, I wonder whether the VFL guys have been been mentoring the AFL guys on Mad Monday celebrations.
Look, they're a pretty young group. Steve Morris and Mavuela aside, yeah, I don't know.
Are you saying that their Mad Monday celebrations have been not up to par? You know what they should have done is that they should reach out to Geelong, because Geelong have been experts at Wacky Wednesday, non-flag winning Wacky Wednesday, for so long now that they're getting quite polished at it. There was a time when they didn't win a flag where they were a bit somber about it, but now they've just got used to it.
Mm. Tim Boyle wrote a great article about Mad Mondays a while back, but I think you need something to mark the end of the season and to mark the end of you as a group, because that group of players will never come together again. Like, we know that Premiership 22s never play again. And
at VFL?
God. And, yeah, sure, even more so at VFL. But for this grand final, our 22 has never played together before, never mind play together again.
Exactly, and perfect segue in the BOG award in the on the back of a 20 touches, 9 tackle disposal in something that I think it's fair to say that we weren't anticipating 3 weeks ago. Marlon Pickett's playing in a grand final.
We weren't anticipating it a week ago. Look, he has been an emergency for a couple of weeks, and we've talked before about my great belief that people who, you know, we're in a near 30-year run of people who get named as emergencies always play seniors eventually. But
so there's hope for Jake Arts after all.
Yeah, and Riley Colley-Dawkins. But this is unbelievable confidence on the part of the match committee. And look, it's hard to separate results and I love the confidence in the thinking, but oh my God, it's like there's certainly a risk. There's
there is,
by all reports, he's a really mature guy.
Because he is a mature guy, he's 26.
Yeah, he's not going to be overwrought, 27. You know, he's had an incredible life story. He's only played about 5 VFL games.
Yeah, I mean, there was lots of little things I was thinking about that, you know, he's things like you understand how to lead for a player, having played with them for a little while. You know, his depth of kicking in a match situation. You know, Tom Lynch, he would have only trained with him. None of this, all this is new. And look, the reason I'm slightly surprised is, I think his VFL Grand Final was his best VFL game by far. Well, not by far, not statistically, but it was his best VFL game. And he certainly had cameos and he has nice highlights, but you know, he hasn't been dominating the VFL, so it was slightly surprising to me, and you know, all the chemistry issues. But you know, on the flip side, the upside, you know, he's a baller. He's got
he seems to like the big moments,
and he's in all the VFL finals, he's been best in late when things have got hectic. It's like, and he's almost laconical in the way he approaches the ball. Like he just thinks he's got more time than everyone else on the field, and you generally only think that when you do. It's going to be interesting to him when he goes up a level, and because there will literally be less time, and whether his laconical style translate. But Nick, as you said, I think you nailed it when you said it's, and I apologize for using this language, but it's just a big balls move. It's, you know, wheelbarrow sized, moving them around. And you know what? I'm not going to rabbit on about today. I haven't been a huge fan about what we've been doing with the rucks lately, but I sort of trust them on this one. They've seen Marlon Pickett playing the twos. It's risky. It means he can't be as fit as most of our other mids. He's probably not as fit as Jack Ross and the amount he can run. You know, Jack Ross was a safe selection. Jack Ross is probably the person you or I would have picked, but they've seen him more. And I just sort of, you know, they pick Sydney Stack out of the sky. And maybe I think this is a translation from the Sydney Stack selection, that they're just, good things have happened when they backed themselves and gone with unconventional selections based on a gut feel that this guy's got it. So, it was after it happened on Friday, after I read about it yesterday afternoon, I sort of walked around the city a bit shocked, sort of like a war had just started, and I got nervous. But sort of fundamentally, that this is one where, and I, as you know, Nick, I'm very happy to criticize when the club, when I think they've done something wrong. I kind of like this one.
Yeah, I sort of heard it might be a chance after the game last week, and I was a bit, I was taken aback. Just the courage of it, and the courage in your beliefs to do something unconventional, because you think he's the best guy.
The interesting thing is, like, are we going to play him in the Jack Graham role as sort of an extra mid who plays fairly tight, makes a lot of tackles, or are we going to sort of shuffle around the midfield rotations a bit? We've lost two, with Graham and Camden out, we've lost sort of two of our big-bodied defensive mids. It'll be interesting to see how we use them, because you get a lot of tackles doesn't mean that you're a good one-on-one player. I doubt whether Marlon's ever been told to sit on anyone in his whole entire life.
No, people have sat on him in the VFL.
But Nick, it's a really interesting move. But Nick, you're not going to believe this. I've been going through the stats, the numbers, the GWS.
Yeah,
I'm super confident.
Really? Oh, I've done the same thing and come at it completely the opposite conclusion.
No, Nick, mentally, and I'm going to, you know, GWS is 6 supporters. And Nick, I think this is time to have a bit of a discussion before we deep dive to the game. So we're sitting in a GWS, fantastic seats, punt road end, right behind the goals, but we're sitting in the GWS area.
Yes. So well, it was the only way we could, we could get two tickets together. But.
Yes. But so one of the few sort of guaranteed havens, the GWS. So a lot of people have been saying to me, oh, poor you, you'll be amongst the GWS supporters. It's like literally my first reaction to this is, and the whole time has been, I feel sorry for these GWS people because they're going to be surrounded by tigers and then their little sanctuary is being invaded by meat. Like it's not, I'm not in danger. I am the danger. Like, you know, I'm a Richmond supporter and you're a Richmond supporter. We're the crazy feral people.
There's going to be 90,000 of us.
And their little enclave has been invaded by two people who are so fanatical about Richmond. They've been recording a podcast for 6 years about it, seven. Or was it eight? Doesn't matter. But
eight.
Yes. I apologize in advance to any GWS fans because if you are listening to this to get an idea of what the opposition thinks, you're probably one of the people who'll be sitting near us. Apologies in advance. And Nick,
well, you know what I'm like during games. I'm sort of often in a deep catatonic state, with moments of self-loathing, with occasional bits of relief.
That's true. So it's really me who'll be the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now, Nick, there's one other story I just want to talk before we get into serious analysis, because we've both done the numbers and we're going to. I want to tell you the end of my Ivan Soldo 47 story.
Yeah.
So it turns out, people might remember from last week that I wanted to get 47 on my back.
And our Twitter feed.
yes. But I have an old school woolen jumper, so you can't iron on a woolen jumper. Through someone very helpfully texted a solution, but it was far beyond my level of competency to do it. So I wanted an old-fashioned sew-on number, and they don't make them anymore. I went to about four different sports stores, rang up two others. None of them have them. Then finally, a very helpful person on Twitter suggested Buffalo Sports in Brunswick. So I went out there, caught a tram house, you know, walked another sort of K and a half in this old factory area of Brunswick. Really nice part of the world, actually. But, you know, sort of a bit off the beaten track. Went into this, you know, quite run-down old factory that had the coolest stuff, warehouse, had the coolest stuff, like all these old footballs, and there was junk piled up to the roof of, like, just random football stuff, you know, handball targets. And the stairs to get into the factory had been run over by a truck the week before, so I had to go in the side entrance. This sort of nice elderly gentleman serves me, and I tell him what he wants, and then he says, "I'll get one of the boys to do it." And one of the boys comes out, and the boy's sort of about 55, he disappears away, gets the two numbers, and he said, "Oh, that'll be $6 for two numbers." Now, keep in mind, every other store in charges about $40 for that. And I said, "Oh, you know, $20." I said, "I've only got $20 cash," and they have no cash spare and they don't take cars. So I just cut a deal where for the $20, because they couldn't give me change, I bought a football as well. It's really good Buffalo football. Mm. So I went away for $20 with a football and two numbers. Then I found a nice Cambodian lady who runs a repair store at the bottom of my office building. So hence, Nick, that long, the point of this long, pointless story is I am the proud owner of a number 47 jersey, Richmond retro throwback jersey.
Good times. I'm sure he's going to do us proud.
You know what would be an ideal result, Nick?
He knocks out Mumford in the first minute.
Oh, well, Norm Smith, obviously. But we win, and he changes his number after that. So forevermore, it'll be the once-off 47 premiership jersey.
Mm. I hope he keeps it. Now.
Yes, I don't like. Like, I mean, he can't get rid of. Like, if you were in a grand final, you're not going to change your number, would you change it? Hell no.
No. Although Castagna did, didn't he?
No.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So the reasons why I'm worried. They're a much better team than they used to be. Like, they've always had an absurd amount of talent. Actually, a little quiz for you, Andrew. So, you know, they started the the then VFL draft in 1986. GWS joined the competition in 2000, had they participated in the draft for the first time in 2011. Which of the two clubs tomorrow have had more first-round draft picks?
Since that time?
No, since 1987.
Oh, I guess you're going to tell me them.
It's the same.
Wow. And a few of ours have retired, Nick.
Well, no, so we've had 33 first-round draft picks since 1987. They've had 33 first-round draft picks since 2001. So while I get all this, you know, they're becoming a team, which has some validity. You know, you're not. It's not an automatic process of young elite talent to elite senior AFL footballer. You know, coaching matters, culture matters. But they started on third base, and the AFL's kept them on third base by they're the only club with an academy unlimited academy zone that's an established football region. Everyone else only gets access either to multicultural or Indigenous players or their non-traditional football areas. GWS got unprecedented conditions to start with. They've had the Riverina ever since.
More than the Gold Coast, which is often forgotten.
More than the Gold Coast, yeah, by some margin. And the Riverina is producing at least one first-round draft pick every year. So, they just have advantages no other club has had. And, you know, they've got a better recruiting staff, I think, the last couple of years. They've finally started to get some of their non-top 10 draft picks are actually good players. Harry Himmelberg, I mean, he was still a first-round pick, but extremely productive third forward. Brett Daniels, you know, almost a Richmond-style draft pick. He's 171 centimetres tall, and he's top 10 in the AFL in goal assists. They've got a scrappy guy off the rookie list in Daniel Lloyd, young key position back, Sam Taylor. Like they're finally growing up and being a real boy. But we shouldn't forget, you know, the AFL did absolutely everything they could to make them succeed at the expense of compromising their draft and at the expense of clubs like us. So, yeah,
they've also been financially paying for it. So essentially, it's somewhat apt that Richmond fans have taken all the GWS seats. Because essentially it's our club. We paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Gina Reinhardt is I think had inherited several hundred million dollars worth of mining leases from her father. Like that's the sort of heartwarming rags to riches story that we're talking about with the GWS.
I believe the phrase is riches to riches.
Yeah, riches to, yeah. And you could even say the GWS have wasted a lot of those riches, but, you know, they finally got their act together and, yeah, they're a really good team. That Finlayson, Himmelberg and Cameron are an amazing trio. They've kicked over 140 goals. Between them, they've Himmelberg, Finlayson and Daniels are all in the top seven in the AFL for goal assists per game. You know, at the other end, Nick Haynes has turned into a very good defender alongside Phil Davis, if he's fit. Aidan Cawes, quite a good one-on-one defender, and I reckon he'll get Jack. And it's a really hard-nosed midfield like that. Talking about how they've had all these draft concessions. Well, they're really tough, well-rounded players. In Kelly, Taranto, Whitfield's really good offer, halfback. Young guys like Perryman and Hopper, you know, again, really tough. So they're a good team. Like their percentage was nearly the same as ours, and again, they've been wrecked with injury. So, they can win.
Yeah. All right, Nick. So that's your catastrophe. By the way, just to help with your catastrophizing, Himmelberg worries me in this game because obviously, I mean,
because Nathan Broad was knocked out last weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Cameron's going to give us fits. He always does. There is an asterisk, but you know, you're probably thinking to the game in Sydney this year where he just destroyed us. Nick, I don't know if you remember, but that game was the game where Grimes and Rance were out and Garthwaite was playing on.
That didn't go well.
No,
I like to remember the Sydney Stack related bits of that game and nothing else.
Yeah, but just to point out, you know, there's a big asterisk around that game. Now, Nick, so one thing you haven't mentioned that they're very good at is that they're extremely good scoring from stoppage team. They don't win the rucks, but their crash and bash midfield. Their midfielders, by the way, statistically aren't great, but they crash and bash, that they win the clearances.
Yeah, Taranto is a bit agricultural in his disposal sometimes.
But here's the thing, Nick. They are against the against the Pies. They played two very close finals. One against, so you know, part of the reason we think they're good is because they've won a lot of finals lately. They were sort of a middling. You know, they finished sixth. They're okay. But they had two fundamental. The reason we all wrote them off for a flag was Cornelio and Ward are both, you know, they're top five players for them, and they're both out. I don't think Whitfield's fit, and Davis is on an injury cloud, so they're not at full strength. I think the Davis injury will be really important, and I don't think Whitfield's going to be up for it in a hard final. You know, look what Marlon Pickett did to CCJ. Running back with a flight of the ball and that famous mark. You know, that's a big, solid boy, and we've got a lot of big boys. You know, Nank, bless his heart, he's going to be throwing his weight around. So Whitfield, they're not at full strength. Yes, they beat the Pies in the tight final, but it was very tight. That was mainly based on scoring. They won that game because they were sort of like plus 14 on the scoring from stoppages. Nick, that was an all-time story stoppage game. There was sort of like 40% more stoppages in that game.
No, and the weather was terrible.
But that's
in
why.
The second half.
And just like in 2017, where we were really a wet weather team, we were advantaged that it rained on in all the games we played. Playing on a dry day really helps us because we don't want to play a stoppage game. We want to because we kill teams on the contest after the stoppage, It's going to suit our game. We're going to be able to spread it well. They're not going to be able to grind it into stoppages like they did against Collingwood. If you look at the Brisbane game, they lost the inside 50s quite badly, actually.
Yeah, and if you look, so Collingwood had Brody Myercheck and Ben Reid as their key forwards. You know, Brisbane, Hipwood and McStay. Like, it's fair to say Riewoldt and Lynch are a step up. And their key backs aren't all that up. I mean, they're tall, but they're not that tall. Like Lynch will look big standing next to them because he does verse to everybody except for Harris Andrews. So yeah, he's going to be a danger, to state the obvious.
Yeah, I just don't think. I think at the G, you know, things can go wrong. Obviously, they could kick for goal brilliantly. We get a midfield injury, which we're particularly vulnerable to, with playing two rucks and playing sort of a first gamer. But barring those things, I can't see at the G them. We will get more shots for goal. We'll beat them on the spread. We play to the ground. You know, they're an extremely talented team, as you point out. But I just think we're fundamentally, they're not going to get enough stoppages. We will beat them in the ruck. Mummy always loses, but I think a follow-up play like that, we're not relying on a dominant ruck to set up play, so they're sort of stoppage set up. You know, they won't be able to take away a strength of ours because they can't set up for, we're not a team that sets up for a dominant ruck anyway, so we're sort of it'll be a defensive battle which we'll probably win. Well, you know, we'll probably lose the clearances, but we'll at least draw even on scoring from stoppages. And I just come back to the fundamental point. Like, it was just like last week. Our forward line is so potent. Yes, they're extremely good defensively. But, you know, against Geelong, who are, you know, were the best team, best defensive team in the AFL last year, this year, we scored 95 points. We just, you can't stop Tom Lynch. And if you stop Tom Lynch, you put so much effort into it. You've got Jack, you've got Shai Bolton, you've got Rioli coming in. I just think we're going to score too much for them. I think we've got the flag, Nick. God, I could regret this.
Well, it's Friday. Yeah, the reptile part of my brain has kicked in. Yeah. We're going to lose. They're going to kick the first 100 goals in a row. But what you said was quite convincing.
You reckon Cameron on Grimes?
Yeah, definitely. Look, just before we go, just, you know, shout out to Jack Ross and Camden McIntosh and, you know, Stack and Garthwaite as well. Like, being a grand emergency to grand final sucks because those guys are going to have to go through all their routines as if they're going to play. They know they're very unlikely to play. And yeah, they're so close and so far. To finish where we started, it's the emotions this week are so high. Everything's there to play for. Like, if we win, we remember this as one of the great teams. If we lose, you know, feel like such a disappointment. Like, it's so close, and it's all to play for, and we can do it, but it's far from assured. Like, God, what a place to be.
Oh, my God, Nick, this is just, let's just savor every moment of it, because it was 37 long years, and suddenly we're good, and this is such a special team. Let's enjoy it while it lasts.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk. Oh, I think we kind of nailed that.
Yeah, I mean, you're out of time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm really out of time. Oh, shit.
Yeah, all right. So what time? I would have liked to have gone through the odds.
Yeah, we cut it short. Kind of had to, but...
Martin, three votes.